Well, Pastor Gordon, just appreciate having you and Joe here and to come and share with us what the Lord has put in your heart for tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Burl and Debbie, and your warm welcome. It's so good to be back in the Maritimes. Notice I'm using that generally because I realize I'm on the island. Is that true? You know. So let's turn in our Bible, shall we, to Mark chapter 5. I want to look at the story of the little woman that pressed through for her healing, but I want to look at it from the angle of eight things that happened to her to release her miracle. And I haven't got time to read it, for time you can read it, but Acts 5, it's quite a big story. I've discovered that some of the bigger stories in the Bible are very pertinent. They're there for a purpose. So the Bible goes into detail about who she is, what happened to her, and what happened in her miracle. It's all there, what Jesus said. A lot of detail. You'll also find that same story in Luke 8. And so it's very important to read both. The other thing I find when I read these stories is to read them in different translations. I was brought up on the King James, but, you know, the New King James, the Living Bible, the Message. I love reading the Amplified Bible. It just brings out different nuances of the Greek words and that. And so you read these stories and you unpack them. But this story is a very important story in the Bible because it takes up quite a section of the Gospels, and both Mark and Luke give it the same sort of treatment. And what we find here is she progressively discovers how to walk into a healing. It's really interesting. You know, a few years ago for my birthday, I ride a bike. I ride two kinds of bikes. I ride Harleys for pleasure, right, and push bikes for pain, and I never get the two confused. A friend of mine came off his Harley because he did a shortcut and that was a lot of pain. You never mix the two. But you know, for my birthday a few years ago, both my sons pitched in and bought me this incredible GPS. And you can put it on the handlebars and it does your speed, your map, it's your heart, your pulse. Not that I want to worry about that because at my age, my pulse always just goes up, you know. But you know, the amazing thing is I never did anything with it for a year. I got busy traveling and I'd get home and get on my bike and the old one was there, but I had to take that off and recalibrate and all that. And I just got too busy. A year later, one of my sons said, "Dad, we're out riding." He said, "Where's the GPS we bought you for your birthday?" "Oh, it's in the cupboard," because I hadn't got it out, you know. But a year later, I got it out and refitted it. It's amazing GPS. And it's not just a speedo, but it's a GPS. It's linked through whatever, I don't know how it works because I'm just a layperson, but it goes up to the sky to a satellite and goes back to my computer and my phone. It's amazing. But you know the amazing thing is until I got it out of the box and switched it on, it never worked. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And you know, we can be like that as Christians. Did you know you have a built-in GPS? It's called your conscience. It's called your spirit. And too many of us have it in the cupboard. We need to engage our spirit. We need to engage our heart with God and tune into God. But until I turned that GPS on and tuned it in, right, then I was able to receive information and data. It's like that with our spirit. Christianity isn't an intellectual thing solely. Yes, it involves the mind, it involves thinking. But, you know, most of us miss faith by 12 inches from here to here. I can think faith, I can believe God, intellectually, I can look at the Bible and say, I'm committed as a Christian. But until I take steps of faith in my heart, and like I had to turn that GPS on, I find I've got to turn my spirit on. And I turn my spirit on through prayer, through reading the Word of God, through worship, right? Through meditation, through contemplation, allowing my spiritual heart to get exercised. Then I turn it on. And I find that is a big thing with faith. Faith is not passive. And the big thing about this story, you've got to understand, Jesus didn't plan her to get healed. There are stories in the Bible where it says, and Jesus had to go somewhere, like the woman of Samaria. He had to go to Samaria, and he meets this woman, right? That wasn't an accident. He prepared that. He got led by God. He had to go there. He knew he went there. And here's a woman, and here's an encounter. But this woman in Mark 5, Jesus didn't know who she was. He didn't teach her. He didn't say, I'm going to heal this woman today. No, she decided. This is the point about this story. She decided for herself that she was going to get healed. In other words, she exercised dynamic faith. She wasn't passive in her faith before God. Miracles don't just happen. We have to work our miracles. Isn't it interesting that one of the gifts of the Spirit is working of miracles? And I've learned we have to work our miracles. There are things that we can do to motivate us and activate like our GPS, our spiritual GPS, so that we can work our miracles. This is a woman who demonstrates activated faith. It's incredible, an incredible story. So let's look at these eight things. Number one, she came to an end of her own way. It says after all these years, she had tried many things, she had been to many physicians, and she didn't get better. The Bible says she actually got worse. Amazing, isn't it? But this woman got desperate. She had tried everything that she knew. She had spent all her money, the Bible says, which means she must have been a wealthy person. But she was still suffering from her sickness and from the treatments. She got to a point where she said, I'm over being sick. I'm over being poor. I'm over being the victim. And we live in a culture that will feed our victim mentality. Even in the Christian church, it will feed our victim mentality. Oh, the reason we're like this is the church did this and the church did that, brother. Oh, you poor thing, you know. And what we're doing is we're feeding victim. And I'm into counseling, I'm into pastoral care. We have whole teams of that in our church. But listen to me, pastoral care and counseling should not feed victim. Oh, the reason you're like this is your auntie's neighbor's dog bark loud at night. And that's why you've got fear. What a load of rubbish. Come on, that's mumbo jumbo. We've got to get out of that stuff. This woman got sick of it. She just said, I'm over being sick. And I'm going to do something about this. I love this woman. Man, what an awesome woman of faith. She just said, I am over this. They've taken my money. I've had every prod and needle and whatever. And have you ever seen what they used to do in those days? They did bloodletting. All sorts of things that they did. And she suffered, but she came to an end of herself and her need. And I believe this is the first principle that we need to understand. So I've ministered widely in countries that are called third world countries. They very quickly get desperate because there's nothing else. You and I have got options. I'm amazed. You look at the medical thing. You can have conventional medicine. You can have this medicine. You can have a combo. And it's all good, right? But what it can do is it can keep us from being desperate in our need. This woman got desperate and she came to an end of herself. Number two, the second thing we read here, it says she heard the message of faith and believed it. What caused this woman to have faith? The Bible says in Mark 5, she heard about Jesus. What does that mean? She heard that he could heal. She heard that he was a miracle worker. And immediately she believed it. We have to hear the miracle working faith message and believe it. And until we get there, miracles are not going to happen. And I'm not just talking about physical miracles. We're talking about that tonight. But I've discovered it in financial miracles. I have to be totally convinced that God will meet our needs. In miracles, in building the church. It's amazing. 30 years ago, we packed up. We were senior ministers of a church, a large church in New Zealand. I was traveling all around the world. God gave me a vision. And we went to Australia. We arrived in Australia with 6 suitcases. That's it, with our 4 kids. And we started our church from scratch. And you say, well, how does that happen? Well, exactly. But you've got to believe that if there's a vision from God, there'll come the provision, right? You have to believe it. You have to be dumb enough and desperate enough and have active faith to say, well, I'm going to do this because this is what God has asked me to do. This woman had that sort of faith. She came to an end of herself. She had run out of options. And now she heard the message and she believed it. I think that is just, it's just so simple, but we can miss this. We must come to a place as Christians where there is no alternative to the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. When we preach the gospel, people will be saved. When we pray for the sick, people will get healed. When we take a step of faith financially, we believe God's going to meet our need. Not, well, oh, well, I'll have a go and see if it works or not. We've got to have more than that, right? We need a revelation of faith on the inside of the message, actually believing the message of faith. She believed it. I love it. Oh, man. Number 3. Now, this is a big one. Are you with me here? Now, just hear me because I might sound new agey, but I'm not. Here it is. She created a faith image of Jesus on the inside of being healed by him. Let me just say it again. She created a faith image of Jesus on the inside, that's in her heart, of being healed by him. She said, if I can touch him, I'm going to be made whole. She had never met him. She might have seen him or heard of him. But this is the picture she created. It says, she said, if I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. She created that picture within herself. The Amplified Bible says she kept on repeating it to herself. The sense is, in the Greek, that this didn't happen one day. Oh, here's Jesus, I'll touch him. That wasn't the idea. The idea is maybe months, maybe weeks, maybe days, we don't know, but it wasn't that day. She had kept saying over and over in her heart and her mind, if I touch him, I'll be healed. She created a faith image on the inside. She was totally convinced. It wasn't just belief in the word. Now she created her own picture of her healing. And she said, if I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. Isn't that incredible? And she believed it. She kept saying it to herself. Listen to this. She came to a revelation and decision in her faith about her healing long before she was physically healed. Let me say it again. She came to a revelation and decision in her faith about her healing long before she was physically healed. You know, many years ago when we planted our church, we came from a large church. We just naturally assumed we'd grow a large church. But you know, when the reality hits and there's your 4 kids, your wife and you, and one other Aussie, and there's 7 of you, and that happens a few weeks in a row, you begin to think, what have I done? I should have stayed in New Zealand, you know. But you have to have a faith picture on the inside. And from day one, I saw a large church. I didn't know how large it would be. I just saw large numbers of people. Years before, we were talking about this in the car coming here, about visions and dreams that my wife and I have had over the years. And before we were married, as a matter of fact, before we dated, she had a dream where she saw herself sitting on the front row in a large church. It was quite a large church, and I was preaching, and she was my wife. And a few years ago, she was sitting in a conference or some special meeting over to the side here, and she was looking, and it was the same picture. Isn't that amazing? God had to get me to ask her to marry and all that sort of stuff, but God, he did that. But the point I'm trying to say is we travel to what we see. Let me illustrate this. Where are your eyes? In the front of your head, right? Why? We're designed to go forward. Did you notice that? Running backwards isn't a good thing for human beings. Right? Why? Because we haven't got eyes at the back of our head, right? True? See, in the natural, it is in the spiritual. In the spiritual, you and I were designed to go forward. What does that mean? Just as in the natural, we see that door and I go toward it because I'm traveling to what I see naturally. In the spiritual, we travel. Oh, this is huge. We travel to what we see in our spirit. Forming an image of Jesus or your life on the inside is critical to moving forward as a Christian. We are to live by revelation, not by information. We live in the information society, and look where it's getting people. Professing to be wise, they're becoming fools. But we're overloaded with information. Information won't give you a successful life. Revelation will. We are designed to travel toward revelation. This woman got a revelation in her faith long before she got physically healed. When we built that church and we handed it over last year to one of our sons in the faith, over 2,000 members, a huge complex of buildings, God's done that. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So people go, wow. You know, some people, I've had one pastor say to me, gee, you're lucky. Luck had nothing to do with it. It was a vision. Or I hear people say, oh, I wish that could happen to me. Well, it can if you get a vision from God and have a faith picture. Because you know what I've discovered in ministry and leadership? Sometimes that's all you've got. Everything can be conspiring against you. Do you think this little woman had everything needed to touch Jesus? I mean, look what Peter and the apostles said. Jesus, what do you mean who touched you? Everyone's touching you. It was the height of his popularity. This weak little woman had to get through that. And she was worn out physically, the Bible indicates. She had every reason not to go. But you see, she didn't base her decisions and actions on her reasonings. She based them on the revelation she had in her faith that if she touched him, she'd be healed. And it became such a motivator toward her. That's the kind of life God wants us to live, not just in the area of healing, but in the area of our career and our family and our marriages and our businesses and our church life, everything. Number four, she touched him for a reason. You read it in Mark 5, it says, and Jesus asked, who touched me? For what reason did you touch me? He already knew, but he was asking the question. The Bible says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is the thing that you need from God tonight? Some of us here are going to be healed because our thing is healing. But there's some people here, you might need a financial breakthrough. Some of you might need a new house or a new job. What's the thing? You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Isn't that amazing how God doesn't name what the thing is? He says, you name it. That's faith. He asks us to decide based on his revelation. And he says, whatever things you desire, I'll give them to you. Isn't that amazing? And so the Christian faith is this incredible adventure of discovering what these things were. And the Bible says she told Jesus the reason why she had touched him. The reason was she had a revelation, faith picture on the inside that motivated her against her circumstances, against her physical condition. She said, if I touch him, I will be made whole. What an incredible story this is. The thing. Oh, I love it. Therefore, I tell you all the things that you pray and ask for. Believe that you have them. Believe that you have already received them. The Holman Bible says, and you will have them. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? Grandkids are great at this. My grandson came to me last year and he said, Poppy, he says, well, can you get me a Batman figurine in Lego? Yeah, why not? I'm not the father. My role's to spoil him, right? That's my job. That's my job. I said, sure, son. He yelled out at the top of his voice to the rest of the cousins, hey, Ollie! I've got a Lego. Poppy's got me a Lego. I hadn't got him a Lego for Christmas at all. But on the word of his grandpoppy, it was as good as though he had it. He didn't even need to unwrap it. He knew he was going to get it. And have a guess what we got him. We got him a Lego Batman figurine or whatever it was. See, it's the same with faith. She knew that when she touched him, she would have it. What an incredible picture of faith and healing. Wow. Here's the fifth thing, and it's big. She used a point of contact to release her faith. Now, in church, we have altar calls, right? We lay hands on the sick. But did you know you can determine your point of contact? Sometimes in the Bible, God gave the point of contact through a prophet or a woman of God. But most times in the Bible, people decided their own point of contact. This woman chose her own point of contact. This is what she said. If I touch his garment, that moment, my faith is released, that's where I'm going to get healed. It's called a point of contact. Now, here's a few points about points of contact. Number one, a point of contact is a means to release our faith. It's not magic, it's not super spiritual, it's not anything special. Often a point of contact is very, I mean, who can be that simple? If I touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. That was her point of contact. She said, that's where I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get through the crowd and I'm just going to grab his garment. She said, when I do that, wait a minute, I thought God determined when you get healed. This is a great story, isn't it? She determined when she never even asked the Lord. She never ever asked. She decided the point of contact. A point of contact is the means. And this is where I think most of us slip up on our miracle, because we're passive. We come to an end ourselves. We believe the word. We go, if I can touch him, something's going to happen. But we don't have a point of contact. We don't take the step of faith to actually make it happen. A point of contact. Number two point of contact is this. A point of contact is something tangible and practical that we do. It's something we do practically. Now, you know how I know how to receive money? Is give money. People say, well, how does that work? I don't know, but the Bible teaches that. How does healing happen? Well, healing needs a point of contact in an altar call. Touching the hem of Jesus' garment. You have a look at it. It's all through the Bible. Number three, a point of contact sets the time for your miracle. It's at that point that you release your point of contact that your miracle happens. Isn't that amazing? There are many examples in the Bible. Naaman dipped seven times. Can you imagine it? One, nothing. Two, what's going on? Three, right? Seven times. He said on the seventh time, he was healed. The widow gave her last meal to Elijah for provision. The woman built a room for Elisha for the healing of her son. The blind man washed his eyes. James instructs pastors to anoint with oil and lay hands. Point of contact. The Macedonians sowed seeds of finance to produce the harvest of financial provision. Paul instructs us in Romans 10 that if we're going to be saved, we need to believe in our heart, but we need to confess. Confession is a point of contact. When we begin to say we're healed, when we begin to say we're blessed, it becomes a point that we release faith. That's the point. It's not magic, it's not supernatural in itself, but what it does, it sets the time, it's something practical we do that releases our faith. Isn't that amazing how God always uses something practical to release our faith? You see, this woman's confession, because she kept saying within herself, if I touch him, I'm going to be healed. I know if I can just get to Jesus, and if I touch him, I'm going to be healed. That's what it says in the Amplified Bible. She kept saying over and over and over. It was her point of contact. It was her belief in God. And her confession of faith cleared a way for her feet to get through the crowd and made an opening to get to Jesus. She said it so often, in the end, she did something about it. Her feet followed her confession. Her heart, her decision, her will followed her confession. For she kept saying within herself, the Amplified Bible says, if I only touch his garments, I will be made whole. Number six, she made contact with the healing power of God. We've got to understand that there is healing power. Healing power. And it says, Jesus said, virtue went out of them. We've got to go to where the power is. We're going to find healing. We need to be where the power of healing is. And that's why you're here tonight, together, believing God, right? In the house of God, where the power of God is. And I like this. Number seven, the faith that she released made her whole. When she finally released that faith and touched him, the Bible says she was made whole. Then Jesus said to her, your faith has made you whole. And here's the eighth point. This kind of faith makes us whole. Some Bible translations say she was made well. But it's not a strong English translation. The idea was that she wasn't only healed physically, but at that moment of faith, God healed her spiritually. And when you read stories in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus said that often. He said to the man, pick up your bed and walk. But what did he say before? Your sins are forgiven. See, we've got to understand God's priority is the healing of our soul. And because we're human and we get caught in our need, sometimes we're focusing so much on our physical need or our financial need, we can overlook the fact that God actually wants to make us whole. A whole person. Isn't that incredible? Not just healed in your body, but whole in your spirit. Body, soul, and mind. I love it. For in his own self he bore our sins in his body on the tree, who by his stripes we are healed. So now I'm made whole and I'm made healed. I'm made whole and I'm healed in my body. This woman came to Jesus for healing in her body, but she went away healed in her soul. She was looking for a miracle, but God gave her peace. Isn't that amazing? He said, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. That struggle, who knows the struggle she had been under, the turmoil of heart, the desperation of her life. And she thought she was just going to get a physical miracle. But that day, when the power of God came, she not only got a physical miracle, she went away with peace. The peace of God. She was made whole in her heart. David discovered this truth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. See, from our point of view, we do the journey to get a miracle. But from God's point of view, he's getting us on a journey to restore our soul and to make us whole and to restore us to God that we might have peace with God. He's after a far bigger thing than just healing in our bodies. Beloved, I pray this above all things, that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Let me take this a step further. That scripture teaches that when we discover prosperity and wholeness of soul, our bodies will prosper. And man, there's a lot of research out on how people are literally killing themselves because of turmoil and anxiety and not living right. But when we live right, when we find peace with God, I tell you, we will prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. That's the will of God for us, that prosperity will come on our lives. I like that word in the Greek. If you translate it, prosper is one word. Another word is success. Someone once said to me, oh, Gordon Moore, he's just a success prosperity preacher. So I got up in the church one Sunday and I said, look, people are saying I'm a prosperity success preacher. Guilty as charged. I want every member of this church to prosper financially. I want you to have a home. I want you to have a great holiday. I want you to have a great family life. And I said, I want you to be in health. I want you all to be healthy. Guilty as charged. So if you want to call me a prosperity and health healing dude, fine, guilty as charged. But shouldn't that be our goal? Because that's God's goal. That's the last prayer in the Bible. It's right near the end. It's one of the last books written in the Bible. And you'd expect them to give us some great thing when Jesus is coming back, or, you know, something really important, like theologically. No, this is what he says. This is what I'm praying for you above all things. I want you to prosper, to be successful. I want you to be in health. And I love them. I think it's the New English Translation that says, and all will go well with you, or with your heart. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Yeah. So you see, tonight when we come to God, those eight steps will lead us into our miracle. But you've got to understand, God's got a bigger thing. He wants us to come out of our turmoil, out of our loss, out of our pain, and discover the peace of God and the power of God in our lives. Isn't that awesome? Before we pray for people with sicknesses and miracles, could you just bow your heads in the presence of God? I want to ask you a question, because this is an important question. If you're in this service and you don't know the Lord, maybe you're away from Him, maybe you've walked with Him for years, but things have come in and you've shifted, you've felt a shift of loyalty or a shift of focus. And you don't find yourself in the Word as much. You don't find yourself in church as much. But maybe tonight you've come here with a friend, a spouse, or someone you know. You've just turned up here because you've heard of the meeting. You know, right now you can get right with God. Because this is the number one thing, that we might walk with God and know Him. So I want to ask you this. If you're in that situation, let me help you. God only asks us to do two things. It's called faith. He asks us to decide, and He asks us to confess. We can't save ourselves. We can't improve ourselves. Only God can do it. He's provided everything at the cross and through His resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit. So it's all provided. But He says, now you choose. What do you want? You decide. So maybe tonight you could decide to be right with God. You could say tonight, Gordon, that's me. I have shifted. And tonight I want to come back and just make Christ center again. Not just a hobby, not just an add-on, but I want Christ to be center of my life and of my heart. And if you've never done this, or you need to do this again, and you've decided, then I'm going to give you this opportunity to confess before God and men. He says, you confess me and it will be done. And if that's you tonight, and you feel right now in the presence of God that you need to get right with God, or come to Him for the first time, need to come back, whatever your situation, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want you to raise your hand up strong and just say, that's me tonight, Gordon. Include me in a prayer. I'm there. I've decided. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Very quickly. Thank you, sir. Thank you over the side. Anyone else? Very quickly, just slip it up and put it down again and just say, that's me. I'm realigning my heart with God afresh tonight. Thank you. You'll never forget this night. Thank you. Way down the back. Yeah, cool. Let's all stand together, shall we? Now, just like the little woman put legs on her faith in Mark 5, the Bible says, if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father. If you raised your hand, and it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God, this is not about embarrassing you. This is about you, I call it, clinching the deal. Because if I just believe it in my heart, it's a great idea. But when I do something about it, it becomes faith in action. If you raise your hand, maybe you didn't, and you're going, oh boy, I wish I had, you can come right now with these people. Just slip out of your seat right now and walk boldly to the front and say, tonight I'm confessing Christ. I am coming back. I'm giving Christ my heart for the first time. I'm realigning myself with Him. You come right now. Just walk. Yeah, come. Come, sir. Yeah. Come. Yeah, yeah, come. Stand in closer. Yeah. Hey, it's cool, man. There were others that raised their hand. Don't be shy. Just come. You raised your hand. Just come. Confess them. Thank you, sir. It's good. Yeah. It's amazing how stuff gets in and shifts us, isn't it? And then when we walked with passion and focus, and then one day we haven't got it. But it's moments like this, we come back, right? And we can say, yes, God, tonight I'm making you number one in my heart and in my life. Anyone coming for the first time? You're all coming back. You're realigning your heart. Let's pray this out. We can all pray this. It's good for all of us to pray this, right? I've prayed this thousands of times, and I never get tired of it because it's so important. Let's say this out loud. Lord Jesus, this morning, tonight I open my heart and I invite you in. I place you center of my life. Forgive me. I turn from sin and everything that displeases you. And I promise to follow you and serve you all my days. Amen. Amen. Father, just touch them right now. Let the power of God come. Amen. Just touch them right now. Touch them right now. Make this commitment real. Touch this young man. Make it strong in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, what I want you to do is maybe tomorrow, tonight or tomorrow, talk to a pastor or leader and tell them what you've done and why and ask them to pray for you, yeah, and look after you. How's that? Does that sound good? That's good. You may be seated. Thank you. While we're standing, let's just stand for a minute. We're going to close the meeting soon, but we're going to pray for some needs. I'm going to call out a few needs that I feel to pray for, but then I'm going to invite those people to come. And when they come, if I don't mention a need that you've got but you want prayer for healing, you come as well and we'll pray for them. We're going to believe. This is our miracle moment, okay? Okay, so there's not going to be loud. We're not going to make a whole lot of noise. What we're going to do is we're going to transact faith with God. We're going to decide. We're going to make this altar call our point of contact. And when you come forward, you're going to say, when that preacher touches me, because it doesn't matter who I am, but you're going to make it your point of contact. When he lays his hand on my head, because the Bible says, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. My sickness, my pain, my problem, it's going to go. That's my point of contact. You see what I'm saying here tonight, okay? So this is not emotional, this is faith. All right? So sometimes in the Christian world, we get confused about emotional and faith. This is a decision you make in your faith, in your heart, like this woman. You just say, Lord, I'm going to make tonight my point of contact. I'm going to get my miracle. I tell you, from tonight, I'm transacting my miracle. I'm over this. I'm sick of being sick. I'm over pain. I'm over lack. And I'm going to step into my miracle tonight, okay? So what I want to pray for is there's some people here and you have pain at the top of your spine up here going into your neck. And there's pain there. You might even have problems with it. You might have to wear a brace at different times. You may even be on medication. The other thing I want to pray for is I want to pray for people that have blood, or what I call blood conditions. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm a doctor of history, but not medicine. Okay, so just go with me. Okay, so that can mean anything from low blood count. It can be blood pressure problem. It can be all sorts to do with the blood, anemia, all sorts of things. It could be hormonal, and that's just not male, female. That can be male too. There are things going on in your blood system that affects you. I believe God can heal you tonight. Amen. 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 And so we're going to pray for that. And the other thing I want to pray for, because I got a word of knowledge this morning and so many people responded. And as I was praying this afternoon, I felt the Lord say to me, do that again. I want to pray for people that have lumps around their head. It could be under the neck. It can be on the head, around the temple area. I got a word of knowledge for someone that had all soft tissue and pain here, and a person came up and said, that's me. I was so embarrassed, shy to raise my hand, but that was me. And so a word of knowledge like this, God asked me to pray for them. It can create faith. Who are those people? Are there people with those conditions, any of those conditions? Just give me a wave. Just, yeah, yep, yeah, number of people. If you have any other pain in your body, I haven't mentioned it, so it's not exclusive, but there are things I feel to pray for personally. That's my point of contact when I do that to believe. But you make this your point of contact and say, God, tonight I'm going to get healed. I'm going to walk into my miracle. You step forward right now. Can we do that right now? Let's move for your miracle right now.